This comes from the AITA subreddit and is titled, "Am I the Askanaut for uninviting my mom to my wedding after she called my fiance embarrassing? I'm engaged to Tiffany, and I love her with all of my heart. Unfortunately, my mom has never seemed supportive of our relationship, and it's pretty clear to me she doesn't enjoy Tiffany. This has been a huge point of contention between my mother and I, and I've made it clear that she needs to begin making an effort if she wants to be in our lives. She continues to try to get away with excluding her, so I've had to come down hard with boundaries. Recently, my mom was going to a touring production of a Broadway show that Tiffany has been dying to see but was unable to get tickets to. My mom was going with her sister, who woke up with a fever and chills, so she was going to invite her secretary as her friends happened to be out of town. I told my mom that it was ridiculous that Tiffany wasn't even her fourth choice. I explained that this was deeply hurtful and asked her to consider her future daughter-in-law over her assistant. She ended up letting Tiffany go, but when it was time to go, I saw my mom's face change. Tiffany is a huge girly girl and just loves to dress up, which unfortunately she doesn't get many chances to do at the moment. She went all out for the show in a floor-length sparkly number with her hair done up and beautiful makeup. My mom was wearing flare leggings, a sweater, and Converse. She didn't even try to hide her disgust. She asked if Tiffany was aware that no one dressed up for the Performing Arts Center. Tiffany admitted she might have gone a little overboard, but explained that she just loves to dress up. My mom complained that she was going to feel embarrassed. I told her to stop, and they went on their way. Well, it has recently come to my attention that my mom texted my aunt, including pictures of Tiffany taken without her knowledge, and complained about how embarrassed she was. She said everyone was looking at them, and some people were snickering. My aunt was making jokes back, and I became furious. I demanded my mom explain to me, and she said I was being ridiculous. She said she could talk to her sister about whatever she wanted, and we needed to grow up. She blamed me for pushing Tiffany on her in the first place, and claimed it was super embarrassing, and everyone was giving Tiffany weird looks. I lost it and told her she was uninvited from the wedding if that's what she really thinks. She got really quiet and said, okay, if that was what I really wanted, and said I was unwilling to compromise or make things work. Now the rest of the family is calling me an Askanaut and saying I will regret not having my mom at my wedding, but Tiffany feels very happy and supported. Okay, let's talk about top comment here. So Reddit actually voted OP to be the Askanaut, but it really seems like it's more of an ESH. Top comment here, everyone sucks here. Edit except Tiffany. She's maybe a little cringe at worst, but so what? None of what you said here is wrong. OP sucks for trying to force his mom to take someone she doesn't like to the show. A gown is indeed too much and kind of embarrassing. I don't think that really matters, but I get that the mom might have been extra unhappy about the evening because of it. But absolutely none of that could ever justify taking sneaky photos of someone and sending them around to mock them. I don't care if Tiffany dressed up in a f***ing Halloween costume for the show. That's some Mean Girls high school bully levels of bullshit that wouldn't be acceptable among teenagers, to say nothing of a grown woman. Okay. Okay. So, Tiffany... She accepts the risk of people looking at her or snickering or making comments or whatever they want to do whenever she chooses to go all out and all in and dress up way beyond what the event calls for. She accepts that risk on her own. Mom seems awfully insecure here, but somebody who obviously is not super comfortable with your partner, I wouldn't try to force my partner on. For both of their sake, for the realm's sake, I would not try to force my mom to take my partner if they didn't, you know, they didn't really get together like that. I wouldn't try to force them together to go to a show together because neither one of them are going to have a good time. It's going to be uncomfortable for both of them. I hope that OP had a discussion with his fiance before talking to his mom and said, hey, would you want to go to this with my mom? Because she has an extra ticket. I'm thinking about pressuring her to take you. But before I do that, I want to make sure this is something you would actually want to go to. He didn't say that he did. And if he didn't, I feel like it's a misstep. But I was halfway expecting whenever he told her that the ticket was available and his mom was going to take her, for her to be like, I'd kind of not rather go. But she was excited about it. So let's assume that he did talk to her about it ahead of time. So that's a moot point. It's a cow's opinion. So... she did want to do this. It's still forcing two people who are uncomfortable together into an evening together. And that's tough. And I guess if you are with someone, you kind of by proxy are subject to whatever attention and ridicule they receive as well. let's just leave it at this. If you're thinking about doing something crazy or dressing crazy, do you automatically think about how the people around you or that you'll be with will be perceived as well? Most important women in his life to get along, Cassie. Yeah, I can see this trying to be a thing. But I also feel like, at least in my position, if it's the two most important women in my life, I'm going to have enough respect for them not to force them into this situation. And you can love them separately without them having to be besties, right? You can do that. You can absolutely do that. And if she is uncomfortable with her, forcing her into a situation where she is uncomfortable is it. It's a risk. I'm not going to say it's an asshole move, but it is a risk. So let's just call it that. It's a risk. Could have been done differently. Not a should have been, but could have been. Probably makes him a four here. Now, mom choosing to be a mean girl, take pictures, make snarky comments, and to have this general attitude toward his fiance is a bigger asshole than he was for trying to force this thing together to make them get along. Feel really bad for Tiffany because, you know, she just wants to get dolled up and go see his show. She doesn't even care if it's with his mom, who she knows doesn't like her or isn't comfortable with her. And she's like, screw it. I'll go. I'm going to take my shot to get out there and do something and get all dolled up, even if it makes her uncomfortable. Don't care. So, you definitely feel like Tiffany's not an asshole here. I do not feel like OP is an asshole. If anything, it's a four. It's a, you could have done it differently, but I don't think you necessarily should have. It's just a could have. Mom definitely came in the top spot for the asshole thing here. So she's definitely at least a two in my opinion. She definitely shouldn't have done what she did. I mean, being a snarky, taking photos of somebody behind their back, somebody who's going to be marrying your son and whom, by the way, you're going to need to have a relationship with, to have a relationship with your grandchild. Doing this kind of shit probably doesn't help with that. I don't know how OP found out about the photos and the conversation between mom and aunt. That's an interesting question. Like how did that come to light? If they were sharing them online and saying shit about his fiance, that would be active bullying. Even though if it's like secretive, it's still bullying. So she was an asshole. I'm going to go with two on mom here. I don't know that she's evil. The way that she's going about this is certainly trending that direction. And she's not there yet, but she is getting there. She is getting there. If she had done this of her own volition and hadn't been forced into an admittedly awkward situation, she'd probably be a one. But she was forced into this awkward situation by her son. And then this is how she handled it. Just bucked against it the whole time and was embarrassed. So let's go with that. Let's go. Helby is at a four. OP is at a four. And could have done it differently. Not really an asshole. Just could have. And Tiffany, I'm saying, is not an asshole at all. Mom comes in at a two. You know. Title of our next story is I, 33 male, yelled at my wife, 29 female, when she asked me to do something. Now she refuses to rely on me. I did post this on relationship subreddit, but I know they tend to stick up for women more, so I wanted to post here as well to get a more unbiased opinion. A few nights ago, I was completing something for work in my office while my wife was cooking dinner when she comes into my office with a jar to open, which is a regular occurrence, and she finds it difficult most of the time. Plus, I like opening them for her. I'm not bothered, except for tonight, because I needed time to finish what I was doing and not be disturbed. When I told her I needed to not be disturbed, she pleaded again that it would only take a second. It made me extremely annoyed that she wasn't listening to me, and not proud of it, of course. I yelled at her to get out of my face and my office, and a few more things that I don't really want to repeat because it makes me feel guilty. She left immediately, abandoned dinner plans, and just ordered in takeout. I apologized the next morning after she avoided me the whole night, and she seemed fine, addressing that she shouldn't have bothered me and should have left immediately when I said no. Now, she never lets me help her with anything. If she needs something heavy lifted, she'll do it herself no matter how long it takes. She's moved important things from the top shelf to the bottom, so she doesn't need to ask me to get them. She's learned how to open bottles and jars by herself without my help. The last straw for me was when she opened a bottle of wine by putting it in a shoe and tapping it against the wall since she can't use a bottle opener. I questioned as to why she never asked for my help when she obviously needed it. She said that the incident we had got her thinking that she needed to be more self-reliant and that my being unavailable all the time was unrealistic. I'm sorry, and that my being available at the time was unrealistic and needed to learn that now. I assumed she was still upset over my yelling at her and let her be, but it's still irritating me a lot. How can I assure my wife that she really can rely on me for things she can't do and that she's not alone? I've tried talking to her, but she absolutely won't budge, and I think she's still holding resentment from what happened. OP revealed in comments what he felt guilty about saying to his wife. Finally, because I was going to say, you can't really ask for our opinion here of what happened if you're not telling us everything that happened. If you say there are more things that I'm embarrassed to say here because it makes me look bad, that's the part that we need to know about. But apparently, revealed it. Comment from Redditor in response to OP. You wouldn't open a jar for your pregnant wife? Who was cooking you dinner and called her a see you next Tuesday and a biatch? What? Hold on. Where do you get off yelling at anyone like that, let alone your wife? Time out, let alone your pregnant wife. And honestly, good for her for realizing it's easier to do shit by herself instead of possibly facing your wrath. Maybe this was the one-time thing, but check your temper because nothing you were doing in your office is worth making someone you supposedly love feel bad. I would add on to that, nothing you were doing in your office could be worth making someone you supposedly love feel that bad. Not just bad, but like bad, bad. Yeah, dude, you're an asshole. You're the worst of the worst here. At least you acknowledge that you're wrong, but I apologize the next morning. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. I apologize the next morning. Okay. Let's look at it this way. Do I have a good example here? Sure. Let's go with this. This was the size of the fuck up. Okay. This is this big. The apology was like this big. Those things do not match. If you mess up bad, if you screw up big, you apologize big, right? So the next morning he's probably like, hey, I'm sorry about what I said. And she's like, I forgive you. Or it's okay. I should have left. And then they go on. But now, dear God, dude. Okay. So I have so many problems with this because the amount of time this guy spent arguing is probably 10 times more time than it would have taken to be like, yeah, done. He spent way more time arguing. His words, just the words that he said where he called her a see you next Tuesday and a bitch, that was more time than it would have taken to open the damn jar. Also, what did you want her to do if she can't do it? And if it is necessary for the meal that she's preparing for you to eat, what did you want her to do? Unless you guys have one of the jar opener things, or she looks up some hacks, grabs a belt, or, you know, freaking pipe wrench. What did you want her to do? Because what she learned right then was that, yeah, you're not always going to be available to help her. In fact, she should ask you last when there's no other choice, because if there's a way that she can do it herself, she avoids being called a see you next Tuesday and a bitch and being treated like shit by the person who's supposedly supposed to love her and care for her and be her partner through this and through what's to come. And I say what's to come because you don't know shit yet, OP. You think you're stressed right now? Wait till that baby's on the outside of her body. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be hanging by a thread and you're going to lose your filter. So if this is the filtered version of you now, get into counseling, learn how to control your shit before the baby gets here, because you are going to end up destroying your relationship and you're going to end up getting a divorce because you can't control your mouth. You don't know fried yet. You don't know stressed yet. You're going to find out soon. You've got a race against the clock here. You have a race against the clock to get your shit in order. And right now, you need to march your ass into whatever room your wife is in for whatever task that she's trying to do without your help, because you showed your ugly ass when she asked for help. You need to march right in there and be like, stop, please stop. I need to do this for you. I need to serve you, my wife, my partner. We serve each other. I need to do this for you, and I need you to know that what happened the other day was completely unacceptable, and I know that, and I know that things are about to get harder, and I want you to know that I am going to fix it. Here's what I'm going to do. Boom, 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 boom. Walk in there with a plan that is a solution, and that is about the only thing that is going to give her a glimmer of hope that you're not going to be just like an outrageous asshole for what's to come. If she's in there lifting heavy shit right now, pregnant, because she would rather do that than ask for your help and potentially be called all kinds of shitty names for it, you done fucked up bad. Fix it. Fix it. You already got the ass calm one. You already got the brozo. Fix it now. That's the only choice you have. Melinda, sounds like she's done. Ah, man. I mean, if you got put in a position like this, look, there are stressful times, right? There are stressful times, and there are stressful times when you know your partner is stressed out and you know you need to tiptoe, or you know you need to just find another route, whatever that is. This was a jar that would have taken 2 seconds to open, and he spent probably a minute arguing. There are times when it's going to be stressful and you know that your partner doesn't mean what they're saying. There are times when it's going to be stressful or when it is stressful and you know that you don't mean what you say. You don't go for the jugular, especially over something that small. And he blew it out of proportion. He's admitting that he blew it out of proportion. But what now? Because she's showing you the damage, at least on the surface. She's showing you what the damages are. Your work to overcome that has to be as big as the damage and then some to overcome it. And right now, all you've given is a half-hearted apology, and you're like, oh, she's still avoiding me and doing stuff on her own, and I don't. To Elizabeth's point here, the moment you call a woman the C-word, it's done immediately. That's the mountain that he has to make up here. Once you called your pregnant wife the C-word for asking you to open a freaking jar, you made yourself a mountain that you must scale to make up for this and repair this. Because otherwise, you are sinking in quicksand. It is a race against time. Shit. Armaniacal, you don't just apologize after this kind of screw up. You beg, but more importantly, show your apology by being there and going beyond. Heartsy, also, what was he so afraid of her seeing at his desk? It was very uncalled for reaction for there to be nothing to hide. I mean, it could be something like that, but it could just be a deadline kind of thing. And there are times whenever I'm like, I have to lock myself in the office because I have to get this done. I have 30 minutes to get it done, whatever it is. But I still go back to he spent more time arguing than he would have opening the jar, and there was no alternative. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been there. Ah. This story is from the Relationship Advice subreddit and is titled, I, 30 male, am starting to resent my wife, 30 female, for not being my ex-affair partner. The math isn't mathing. Background. I have been with my wife, Erin, for 7 years and married for 5. And we have a 2-year-old. 2 years ago, I fell in love with the greatest woman ever, Diamond. I never cheated on my wife before that, and I still say that I didn't. What we had was true love. But who's we in that sentence? Confused. Disclaimer, my wife is a kind soul, but we don't have that spark that we used to. I miss the spark, intensity, and the passion that we had in the beginning of our relationship. I filed for divorce to be with Diamond, like we agreed, but for reasons unknown, Diamond got cold feet. My relationship with Diamond lasted 11 months. Diamonds aren't forever. Afterwards, my wife and I got back together because the divorce wasn't official yet. Now, Erin is a great woman, but she's not Diamond. After getting back together with Erin, every little thing she does bothers me. The way she gets dressed to go to work, the way she makes my coffee, everything. Unfortunately, I began taking it out on her by starting arguments and being snappy. Erin is a great person and doesn't deserve that. Fallout. I realized that I needed to take a step back after what happened last night. My wife put the baby to sleep and said she was going to shower and head to bed early. She asked if I wanted a snack or something before I go to bed. I said no. She said she loves me and kissed me on the cheek. I didn't say anything, and she said, why don't you love me? She said, I'm doing everything I can, but you, I don't know. I just told her point blank, you're not her. That hurt her a lot. She just went upstairs, and when I joined her an hour later, she was still crying. She cried all night in the master bathroom, and I couldn't sleep. Oh, so sorry for you for not being able to sleep and being inconvenienced by the damage you caused, you dick. She stopped and went to bed finally at 3:30. I feel so terrible, and I want to do my part to rebuild our passion. Please help any way you can.
Sorry, buddy, but I'm having a hard time believing the last line of this. I feel so terrible, and I want to do my part to rebuild our passion. Please help any way you can. You know what the most important part of that sentence was? The next to last sentence. It was, do my part. In what universe do you feel like any of the responsibility of cleaning up this mess is on her? Your part is the whole thing. There's no slice of pie. It's your pie. It's your mess. The whole thing is yours to clean up. And instead of cleaning it up, you're just kicking shit around and making a bigger mess, causing more pain. What in the hell did you do to convince her to take you back in the first place? Please tell me she is not dependent on him. If she is dependent on him in any way, top comment. They have a 2-year-old. He cheated on her 2 years ago. He's a piece of shit. How convenient for him that the spark disappeared right around when a lot of care and support was needed. Of course, it's yet another man cheating while his wife is dealing with a newborn and healing her body, for sake. Okay. So if that timing aligns and it was all of a sudden, he's not the only thing she pays attention to. All of a sudden, she's got shit she's got to do and she's not just serving him 24/7, because even the way she makes his coffee pisses him off now. I'm sorry, I'm not serving you properly, master. Let's just go ahead and do this. You're an Ascon 1. You're Brozo.
And boop.
You get an official rejection from the DFHB club because this is an indecent human being thing to do. To treat another human like this, period. Let alone your wife. How mind do you have to have somebody to be able to cheat on them? That relationship falls apart, but because your divorce isn't finalized, somehow convince her to take you back and do all the shit she was doing before for you, still serving you, but now the way she does it kind of pisses you off. So when she finally asks the question, why don't you love me? You say, you're not her. The girl I cheated on you with back in the day, who decided she didn't want me, so I came back. You're not her. You're like a consolation prize. And then to bitch about being inconvenienced by the tears that you caused. You, sir, are beyond repair. Seriously. For the good of everyone in this story and really the entire realm, the entire f-ing universe, please leave this relationship. This woman will be happy with just her child and the support that you're going to have to pay in, because I'm guessing that she is dependent financially on you, and that's one of the things that forced her to take you back. You're going to be paying for it. She is going to have at least an opportunity to be happy without you actively shitting on everything she does in that house. She can have a chance. With you around, no one has a chance, man. You're what we call a dark cloud. Just cast a shadow on everything around you. You walk into a room and the vibe goes, this is a toxic, beyond toxic, but this is a toxic poison person. OP. You clearly are not taking this seriously. I would love to give you advice, but it wouldn't matter because your heart isn't in this. Your heart isn't in really repairing this relationship because you really don't give a shit about this woman. You do not give a shit about this human being. Zero shits. Because the car you traded up for got repossessed and you had to go back to your old car. And now that old car just ain't the same. You know what I mean? You're a piece of shit. That's the bottom line. And now we're just talking to your mentally abused wife here. Ma'am, run.
I want you to hear me with every fiber in your being. Run. Take a chance at being happy, because this ain't it. There are so many chances out there for us to be happy, but there are very, very, very clearly dead ends. This is a dead end. You know what's down this road because you're going down it every damn day. You can see his words in black and white here. This person does not care about you. Not just doesn't love, does not care. It's time. Here's your sign. If not for you, for your child, because the kind of household you're going to show them as a benchmark for their understanding of what a successful marriage looks like is happening right now. And here pretty soon, they're going to start paying attention and they're going to be like, oh, this is how this works. So whenever I get old enough, this is what I'm supposed to do. Do you want your kid to be happy someday? You have to show them what that looks like. The best thing you can ever do for your children is to show them what it looks like to be happy. If not for you, do it for your child. And dickbag, if you still by chance are listening to what I'm saying here, eat glass. All right. Next story here comes from AITAH and is titled, Am I the Asshole for Divorcing My Wife Because She Lied About Her Fertility? I'm going to red flag this right now. We'll see where this goes, though. I, male 38, have been with my wife, Natalie, female 37, for 8 years, married for 4 years. Natalie has a daughter from a previous relationship, Kaya, female 12. Kaya's dad left when she was a newborn. We have no idea where he is. I love her as if she were mine. She calls me dad and has a great relationship with me. I told Natalie from the very beginning that I would like to have biological children, and she said she is open to having more kids. After we got married, we bought a nice place and started trying for a baby. After a year, we did some testing and all came back normal. My wife said IVF would be too costly and hard on her body. I was secretly devastated, but I decided to come to terms with the fact that I'll never have any biological kids. It is one of those things that takes two votes. It takes two yeses, right? This was until a few days ago when I found out from Natalie's sister that Natalie lied to me. She and her sister got into a fight in our house, and her sister screamed, "At least I don't take pills behind my husband's back and claim I'm infertile. Does he know you terminated his baby?" I was floored. My wife kicked her sister out and started crying, saying she really didn't want another kid and didn't want to lose me. I can't believe she lied to me instead of talking to me. I just left. I've been staying at my parents' house since then. Natalie begs me to come back. She says we can try for a baby. Kaya even messaged me to come back. My parents think I should just move on and give her another chance. Of course they do. She made a mistake and she apologized. AITAH for wanting a divorce for this. Additional info, I live in Canada. I'm pro-choice. I do believe women have the right to control their bodies. I had no idea she was against having more babies until a few days ago. She lied about wanting to have children with me. She chose to terminate a pregnancy 1.5 years after our wedding, and yes, it was my baby. She never told me. To answer another question, yes, she saw me devastated and upset when she told me we couldn't have a baby. I can't believe she lied to my face. Top comment here, NTA. There is nothing wrong with not wanting to have kids. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to have more kids. There is nothing wrong with changing your mind about wanting or not wanting kids. This is not any of that. This is about the fact that your partner chose over and over again to lie to you, to allow you to dream about a future she knew you won't have with her. She lied, betrayed, and misled you for years. Even if she did a 180 and honestly wanted kids now, is this someone really that you would want to stay with? To co-parent with? To be the mother of your child? This is not a political issue. This is not what you believe in issue. This is a matter of straight up just misleading your partner and then lying to your partner separately, repeatedly. And clearly she was against IVF because it would work unless she was actively sabotaging it, but it does cost a lot of money and it does take a toll on her body. And I mean, that part is true, but the deceit that is displayed here over something like this is too big of a red flag to ignore. It is too big of a red flag to not cast a shadow on any kind of future with this person, regardless of the groveling, regardless of saying she wants to give it another chance, regardless of anything they say after that fact, you could never trust her again. How the f*** are you supposed to know when you're being fed a line, when she's acting? How are you supposed to know if she really is doing what she says she's doing? How are you ever supposed to trust this person? It sucks. It sucks really bad that Kaya essentially is going to lose a dad in this scenario here, because you've been together for 8 years and Kaya's 12. So for 8 years, you've been her dad. You're the only dad that she knows, and she is going to lose her. She's going to lose you because you have no right legally to a relationship with her, right? I mean, maybe you could work something out. Hopefully you could work something out with the courts, but she is going to lose a father figure in all of this. You, I think, should fight for a relationship with Kaya after this, but you have to leave, Natalie. You cannot trust this person ever again, ever. I, even if it was something little, it would cast a shadow on the rest of your life, right? Like, how are you supposed to ever trust this person? But something this big, I don't know. I don't know how. There's no amount of work that she could do. There's no amount of penance that she could pay that would ever restore the amount of trust that would be needed for me to trust this person with my child. You know what I mean? And you're not going to be able to be there every damn second of every damn day. How are you going to survive without the stress destroying your relationship anyway, and then creating a toxic environment for a kid? There is no scenario here where there's no happy ending here. There's none. There's no repair. There's no happy ending here. I don't see one. I mean, does anybody see a happy ending possible here? Or am I just in a pissed off mood? But her sister knew. That worries me the most, Soda said. Her sister knew. Who else knew that Natalie was sabotaging her ability to get pregnant? Good question. Because there is a difference between keeping a secret and being the butt of a joke. If everybody else knew, or if a lot of people knew but him, like he was the butt of this charade, this joke. That makes it even worse. It's not on the sister. No. So Sin, what Sodas was saying here was that because the sister knew, other people probably knew too. And that makes it worse, because now Natalie isn't just actively sabotaging this pregnancy or the potential to get pregnant. She's not just sabotaging that. She's making a spectacle of it. And that's even more evil. It's just terrible. Terrible. This is like detonating a sinkhole under your relationship. It gone. Or black hole. Just poof. It is disintegrated by definition. It cannot be fixed. That's true. It's like a 7-layer dessert of deceit. Thin morning. Natalie, this is evil. No other word for it. And I think if Natalie is going to have this, she's going to have pain, the pain of all that's coming to light, the pain of this marriage ending, the pain of Kaya losing a father figure. There's going to be pain. Is it enough to create change? Doesn't matter for this relationship's sake. I hope it does for her sake and for Kaya's sake. But is it enough pain for her to realize that she's like a shit human being? I don't know what amount of pain that takes, but I don't know. I don't know. She's terrible. In OP, am I the asking for divorcing my wife because she lied about her infertility? No. NTA. Grr. Hello there. It's Dusty Thunder with another Reddit story for you. This is actually an update to the Am I the Askinot for Divorcing My Wife Because She Lied About Her Fertility post. Eek. Here we go. Thank you all for your kind comments and private messages. I did receive a few unkind ones accusing me of trying to control her body or making her feel unsafe, which is why she secretly went through with it. Natalie came over to my parents' house last night after dinner. She dropped off Kaya at her friend's because she said she needed to talk to me. I'm glad I gave her the chance because I now have no doubt she is a pathological liar. She said after her first pregnancy, she had to work so hard to be in shape and she swore she would never do that again. I said, "Then you lied to me from day one?" She said she thought she would change her mind, but she didn't. So yes, she still lied. Then she saw me come to terms with not having a baby, so she decided not to tell me. I said, "So you lied more? You got rid of my baby because you wanted to stay fit? You didn't even discuss anything with me. How could you do that to me? I could be holding my baby right now and you stole that from me." She said she is sorry, but the good news is she still can. Hey, what? I said, "You are still lying. You still don't want a baby and you're only saying it so I stay. I don't even know what to believe anymore. I can't trust you ever." She started crying, saying, "Kaya is so sad you left us because I can't give you a baby." That's what she told her kid? That OP left because she can't give him a baby? I lost it. "You lied to her too? Is this why she thinks I left?" I told her it's over and to get out of my parents' house. She cried and cried. I'll meet with a lawyer this week to start the separation process. I'll send a text to Kaya and explain that I didn't abandon her and I will do anything to be in her life. I never legally adopted her, sadly. I can't believe that I blindly trusted her all these years. As for Kaya's dad, I have no idea where he is. She refuses to talk about it. Well, that is not a happy update, but it's exactly what we saw coming. The feedback on the previous story was all trust is broken at this point. How could you ever trust this person again, ever, with anything, big or small, but especially when it comes to kids? How could you ever trust this person again? Everything was built on a foundation of lies, and it was lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. There's no way that you could ever trust this person. And the real loser in all of this, aside from OP, is Kaya, OP's wife's daughter, soon to be ex-wife's daughter, because she never had a dad in her life at all, and OP became the de facto dad for her, treated her like his own. They have a great relationship, but he never legally adopted her, so she's just subject to mind warping right now. Oh, man. This is, it's not good at all. What a shit person to not even be able to take responsibility to your own kid then and be like, "Oh, he left us because I couldn't give him a baby." That's not accurate at all. There's a big difference between couldn't and wouldn't. And now that we know, the only reason that she didn't want to was because she wanted to stay in shape. So a lot of people don't want to have kids for a number of reasons. It's fine that you don't want to. It's not fine that you lied to your partner about it for years. You don't get to lie to your partner about that kind of stuff and expect to still have a partner. That's not how life works. I accused my 28 male fiance of cheating on me, 26 female, and left our house. Okay. Originally posted February 17th, 2024. Throwaway because I feel really stupid and need advice. My fiance and I have been in a relationship for the past 6 years, engaged for the last 2 years, and we are about to get married in November of 2024. Gonna try not to make this long. On Monday, I woke up around 2 a.m. to go to the bathroom. As I walked past my fiancé's side of the bed, his phone went off with a message. I got curious and looked. The message was from a girl called Angie. This message said it was good to see you again, and I had a lot of fun. We should do it again sometime. I took his phone with me to the bathroom and read their chats. Nothing sexual or even flirty, but there were a bunch of conversations of meeting up at her place, what they did that day, all the fun they were having. I remember yesterday I wanted to do something with him, but he couldn't as his sister was in town and they had arranged to meet and hang out for months now. He did invite me along, but I didn't go, didn't want to take away from his time with his sister. My thoughts immediately went to him cheating on me and I started to bawl like a baby in the bathroom. My fiance came rushing into the bathroom to see what was going on. I was not as quiet as I thought I was in the end. When he came close to me and asked what was going on, I told him not to touch me. He looked hurt in that moment and took a step back. I gave him his phone and told him to explain himself through tears. He took the phone, looked, and laughed. Then I saw him laughing. I got up and stormed out, locking myself in the spare bedroom. He came to the bedroom and through the door said he was sorry for laughing and tried to explain himself. Before he said anything else, I told him to leave. He then left for our bedroom. That morning before he woke up, I grabbed some of my things and came to my sister's house. I've been here since Tuesday morning, too afraid to go home. He sent me a message that morning saying he heard and saw me leave but didn't want to stop me because of what happened the night before. Again, he said sorry for laughing, but the situation was just ridiculous at the moment, and his brain responded with laughter. I sent back some hurtful things and that he's a cheater. He responded with, "Angie is a nickname for my sister, Angelina." He told me to confirm with his sisters if I didn't believe him, and he told me to check Facebook and Insta if I need proof because a picture was posted of their meetup yesterday. He didn't say anything to the hurtful thing I said to him or anything, but told me the house is open for me to come back anytime I like, and when I do, we'll have a serious conversation about what happened and what will happen going forward. I'm scared to go home because I feel like he'll be breaking up with me, and I don't want that. How can I handle this? I know I was wrong for the way that I acted. I acted like a child. I overreact. How can I fix this? What can I do now? Oh, boy. Elizabeth, yikes. Oh, dear. How do you get engaged to a person and not know his sister's name? We all knew where this was going. We all knew where this was going. Like, duh, yeah, that's his sister. Okay, top comments here. Comment, how did you not put Angie and Angelina together as the sister of the man you were supposedly marrying? Especially when he told you he was meeting his sister and invited you to go. Sorry, sis, but this is your own damn idiotic fault. SMH. Edit. Especially since y'all have been together for 6 years. You mean in all that time you've never heard her called Angie? That was the best acting I could do with how that commenter wrote their comment. Another comment. Even if you hadn't heard him call her Angie before, you knew that his sister's name was Angelina, which is obviously very similar, and that she was in a town he'd been hanging out with her, and you immediately jumped to assuming that he was cheating? I'm sorry, but this is an absolutely buck wild reaction. If he doesn't break up with you, you need to get yourself into therapy ASAP and figure out where this knee-jerk reaction came from. In fact, you really should do that either way because this level of trust issue in an otherwise stable 6-year relationship is not normal unless you're leaving out something huge like past infidelity or actively undermining attempts to get pregnant or some kind of other unrelated massive charade or lie. Because we hear about those sometimes, right? Original OP's response, nothing like that at all. He's always been lover.
He be lover. Words hard, do, me think.
He has always been loving and never hides anything from me. We know the password to every device each other owns. Edit. OP's response, I was cheated on before by my previous boyfriend and found out in a similar way. Ding, ding. Before someone asked, I heard him referring to his sister as Angie in the past, but my brain didn't put it together that night. Now the part of your brain that got cheated on is the one that took control and was like, who dis bitch? I've been at my sister's house since Tuesday morning, too afraid to go home, and the only text I've gotten from him so far is asking if I'm okay and goodnight text. When I tried to talk over the phone, he says we will talk when you're home. He won't be doing it over a phone. The conversation is to be had face to face. Okay, there's an update. There's an update. This guy handles shit the way I want to handle shit, right? This guy, so far, I'm like, damn, you're a very mature person, OP's fiance. You're handling this shit like a champ and without breaking a sweat is like, we'll talk about it. Doors open. It's ready for you. I'm sorry for saying it's funny, but it's funny. Doors open. When you want to come back, we'll talk. In person. Right now, it feels like this dude is very understanding and very mature and wise. Probably has a gray beard or something like that. You know what I mean? And is gonna fix this. He's gonna lay out a solution plan and say, if this relationship is going to work,
you're going to get your ass in therapy because that was triggered by something in your past. And ding, ding, we know where that came from. Also, open communication at all times. If you have a question, come to me before assuming anything ever. That is a rule. And third, there is no third. It's really just that freaking simple. Okay, original OP updated the following day, February 18th, 2024. Update, I don't know what to do. My fiance left me.
No! Oh, God!
Let's read through it all. Maybe we'll be a little bit surprised here, but right off the rip. It broke my heart. All right, we're diving back in. Here we go. Updates. This morning, I got ready to go home. Before I left, I had a final conversation with my sister, and she basically said the same as all of you. During the conversation, the doorbell rang, and my sister went to have a look at who was here so early on a Sunday. My fiance walked in, and I was actually excited to see him. I went in to hug him, but he pushed me away. I felt hurt at that moment, and he asked to speak to me in private. We went up to the guest room where I was staying. I'm not going to say everything we discussed here, but the short of the story is, he found it very childish for me to run out of the house without talking to him. He said he could forgive all of that because of a misunderstanding. But what he can't forgive is the way I acted and ignored him and hid from him last week. My insecurities all throughout these years have taken a toll on him, and he is done. The fact that a conversation with his sister caused me to do all of this made him see me in a different light. He did try to explain, and he laughed at me saying my reasoning is bullshit. He said not just him, but the whole family refers to his sister as Angie, and I know that. He even brought up instances where I called her Angie myself. I tried to tell him that when I saw the messages, my mind just went blank, and he responded with, "Stop making excuses. I'm done with this." He then said it's better to break up because he doesn't see this relationship going any further. I showed him all of my stuff was packed and that I wanted to go home today. He just responded with, "Too little, too late." He said it as if he was in a movie with no emotions on his face. When he looked at me, all I saw on his face, for some reason, is pity for me. He said he'll be canceling everything and all the money that I have spent on the wedding stuff so far will be in my account as soon as he gets the refunds. Before he left, he just said, "I hope you will find someone that will be able to handle your childishness and insecurities, but that won't be me." He brought all my things to my sister's house. He and two of his friends unloaded everything on my sister's lawn and left. What do I do now? I haven't been able to eat the whole day and just kept crying. How can I fix this? I was wrong, I know, but it's not fair that he will dump me because of this. Not fair. Not fair. Don't know if that's the right word. Okay, comment. Info, did you want him to cheat? Why were you so sure he was cheating when you literally know his sister's name is Angie? It just sounds like you're almost looking for an out. Just break up with him. He deserves better. Edited to add, saw your update. Good on him. What the do you mean it's not fair that he dumped you? They caught it too. I understand what he's saying when he said you're childish. You literally sound like a toddler stomping your feet and saying it's not fair. It's absolutely fair. You disrespected him and your relationship by accusing him of infidelity, not letting him explain that extremely rational explanation, and then hiding at your sister's house for an entire week just to not face the consequences of your actions. It's the last part, ladies and gentlemen. I think we were right in that up to the point where they had the conversation where he said the door's always open, come back, we'll talk in person, he was ready to fix it. It was the week of nothing happening after that that gave him time to think and pushed him down the funnel until he was at indifference, and then he was done. If she had acted sooner, this would be a very different update. You need real psychological help if you were cheated on over half a decade ago and still use it as an excuse to be controlling, manipulative, jealous, and childish. I hope you learn from this experience and get the help you so obviously need. I would agree with, I hope you learn from this experience and get the help you so obviously need. I don't think people who are truly driven by whatever trauma she was driven by are making a choice. They don't have control. She needs psychological help to get control. This was not a choice. I do not think this was a choice on her part, but something triggered it. It was how it was handled after the fact that destroyed this relationship. Original OP says, "I wasn't. I've been cheated on before, and my mind just went there." Comment, "I bet you weren't cheated on by this guy who you've been with for 6 years. Trust goes both ways. Be hopeful that he is looking to work this out because you need to work on yourself. I'd have dumped you if this was a recurrent theme." Yeah, it's the week. It is the week. I think we were right, guys. 222 of us
that had the vote of fix it here, I think we were right when those words were said. And in the story, when we asked the question, it was the week of radio silence after the fact that happened that made it, gave him time to think. It was an idle hands issue, but it gave him time to think. And it gave him time to think about how he just rolled out the red carpet for a solution here and said the door's open and gave you the explanation that made everything understandable, and you still stayed gone a week. That's the part that was the nail in the coffin for this relationship. That's the part that took it from maybe there's hope of a solution, maybe she'll do the work that needs to be done to fix this thing. Maybe. Those maybes get a little weaker every day, right? They get a little weaker until 6 days later or a week later. It's not a maybe anymore. It's a not going to happen. If she had struck while the iron was hot, and when that door of opportunity opened, window of opportunity. Did I just Candy Thunder a saying? I did. I said the door of opportunity. When opportunity knocks and a window of opportunity, right? Damn it. Candy Thunder, you've infected my brain with whatever this is. When that door of opportunity opens, you walk through it because it doesn't stay open forever. It didn't. It was open for an entire freaking week. And she just let it like creak close. Just thunk. You're done. He's indifferent now. There's no coming back from that. And it was your fault to begin with. So you let paralysis put you in a spot where inaction was your action, and inaction is not doing nothing, right? Inaction can be extremely harmful in relationships. Extremely. Here's a good example. Dear God, that's rough. That's rough. And man, it's like, it's like a Hallmark movie that's almost happy, and then it's too f***ing real. And you're like, oh shit, Hallmark got dark. This is the movie Hallmark needs to make. Come on, we need to put that up for a poll. This story is from the Am I Overreacting subreddit and is titled Feeling Unimportant and Like an Afterthought on My Birthday. Sad face. My husband asked me a month ago what I wanted for my birthday, and I told him I just wanted him to clean and organize the main level of the house and the basement. He said he'd do it. I just had to keep the kids out of the house so he could work on it. I thought he'd do it weeks ago and do it on days where he'd already be out of the house, like for school or extracurriculars. Instead, he waited until the last 2 days before my birthday and during spring break. So I've been running around trying to find ways to keep two young kids occupied for two entire days. It's been exhausting for me and for them. And of course, he only did the main level. He did promise to do the basement another weekend. Today is my birthday. I didn't wake up to a good morning text, so I figured he's waiting to say it in person. He finally comes into the bedroom where I'm playing with our daughter and starts talking about something else and goes to leave. I jokingly asked him if there's anything else he wants to say, and he looks at me and says, "Didn't you see my text?" 5 minutes before that, he sent me a text saying, "Happy birthday." Is it wrong to expect that he'd either send me a text for me to wake up to, given that he woke up at least 2 hours before me, or at least to say it in person, since he couldn't do that, or even say it when I gave him a hint to? Then our daughter starts crying, normal melodramatic toddler, "Girl, don't I know it," and comes into the room while I'm trying to recenter myself after that disappointment. It's hard for him to take that responsibility since I've had it by myself this entire week, while he's had work and 2 days of cleaning the house. Along with all that, he didn't get me a gift or even a card. I know the clean house was supposed to be my gift, but he didn't finish it, and he admits that he spent a good bit of that time I had the kids out taking breaks. Other than the cleaning has done nothing for my birthday. I bought the food. I bought the decorations to make myself feel special. He didn't even get me a card. I don't need anything extravagant, but all of this is making me feel unimportant and like an afterthought on the day that's supposed to celebrate me. Damn. OP. If you don't mind going to dusty-thunder.com and filling out the contact form with some kind of proof validation that this is you. Oh, we can just match your username. Prove that this is your username. I want to send you a birthday cake. We have cake kits for Mission Protect the Cake. I want to send you a birthday cake. Please. There is not much
more low than feeling like garbage on the one day of the year you're not supposed to feel like garbage. And I think, so this is my position. Whenever it's Candy Thunder's birthday, I'm a gifter, right? That's how I'm going to show my love to her. So I will normally go over the top knowingly because I'm like, I love you big. That's how I'm saying that. But I always feel like shit that night or the next day or whatever it is. I always feel like I haven't done enough. And I feel like if you really love your partner, you kind of should probably always feel like you haven't done enough. It's kind of like a parent feeling like they should be doing better means that you're doing a good job because you care, right? It's that kind of thing. If you're worried you're not doing enough, you're doing it right. I don't feel like that's how hubby feels. Feel like he feels like what he's done already is way more than enough and she doesn't even really deserve that. And to be on the receiving end of that, got me.
You got me. You got me right in the feels.
That's tough. That's tough to feel like that. By the way, this is the Raccoon Who Controls the Weather t-shirt. I'm officially rocking it. It's in the swag shop at dusty-thunder.com. Freaking love it. There's nothing that makes this okay. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care what kind of disarray your life is in. If your partner feels like garbage on their birthday, it's on you, partner. You done fudged up. You done red flag confettied it on somebody's birthday. You done brozoed it with the whole way that you've handled this situation. And even when it's very, very apparent that your partner is feeling unappreciated, you did nothing to change course here. And I think that's what makes you a real asshole in here. Stevie Wonder said when he was on our podcast, said, if you know you should be doing something differently and you choose not to do that, that makes you an asshole. In this case, I think there was a clear indication that what he was doing wasn't enough and he stuck to his guns. That makes him a legitimate, bona fide ass-canut. Where at? Yeah, what are breaks? And then I was thinking, oh shit, there was a few hour window over the weekend where I was working on organizing parts of our house. I didn't really take a break till the very, very end though. But for a minute, I'm like, is this me? When is Candy? Her birthday's not until later this year. It's in August. Well, this can't be. No, it's not me. I was about to feel really, really shitty. I was like, no, no way. Can't be. Can't be. It can't be. It's at least a two. Is it a one? I think it might pivot from a two to a one when you get a signal that you need to be doing something different or better and choose not to. When he stuck to his guns, I feel like he might have jumped up from a two to a one right then. What do you think? Ask how money doesn't value her at all. And he made her feel like shit on the day that is about her. Cassipea, she wasn't expecting much. A card, a text, or even some convenience store flowers would have been enough. Something. We don't do cards. Candy Thunder and I don't do cards because we just don't. Unless it's a really funny one. We just don't typically do cards. But that we don't need a card to feel special. Ripley, Hubs is playing poor, pitiful Pearl. He didn't even half-ass this relationship. It's more like quarter-assing it. Oof. Mad Hatter's at two. Mad Hatter, I would understand if the husband had asthma and needed to take breaks for that, but this is mad. I think here's what happened. I think he was like, oh, I got this whole house to myself. Video games. I think he got blazed up and jumped into video games instead of doing what he was supposed to do because he had a moment where he knew he was going to have time, an environment where he wasn't going to get interrupted. He was like, man, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. But he made his choice then. He made his choice when he decided to dick around instead of doing the thing that he agreed to do, which was the only thing he had planned for his wife's birthday. As soon as he chose to start half-assing it on that, he became really, really shitty. Is he evil, though? That's the question here. Is he evil? We do cards. We do cards only. Ask on one. Didn't you get my text to so many more words than happy birthday? Truth. You know what? Okay. Yep. Again, it's the choice. It's not the initial thing that he did. It was the choice to stick to his guns and be like, yeah, so what? You're fine. What do you expect? It's not like it's your goddamn birthday or nothing. Yeah. The active and repetitive choices to be shitty are what got him here. There are a million different scenarios where this stays at a 2, or maybe even below, but it is at every single turn he chose wrong. At every single turn, he chose to be an asshole on her birthday. That's where he jumps from a 2 to a 1 here, because he wanted to be a 1, clearly. He's like, I'm going all the way.
Aren't you gonna, you know, say anything else?
Didn't get my text. He went all the way. It sucks to think that we're all probably guilty of that to some manner, right? Not being 100% a person of our word. I overload myself with tasks every day and still don't complete it. But that is a form of like me saying I'm going to do these things. But you know what I mean? But yes, when you are intentionally acting against your word, yes. I think when you have that many opportunities, the only way that you're failing is if you choose to fail. He chose to fail. That's why he's an Ascon 1. The choice is beyond disrespectful when it's a repetitive choice. Am I the Ascanaut for hitting on my girlfriend's friend after she insisted on not telling them I'm her boyfriend? Ooh. My girlfriend and I have been official for a few weeks now. She hasn't introduced me to her friend group yet, which I didn't think much of at first. We were all set to hang out, but before that, my girlfriend said to me not to mention we were together. I asked why, and she said because she wasn't ready for it. For that night, I was okay with it. Afterwards, I told my girlfriend that I felt like crap and that I wanted to be seen as her boyfriend. She said not to worry and that she'll be ready soon. But the second time, she asked me not to mention it again. I was annoyed, but I agreed not to say anything. During that second time, I overheard one of her friends asked her if there was anything going on between us. She said I was just a friend. I mean, I should have popped red flags earlier, but here they are. I was hurt, to be honest. I knew what I agreed to, but I was hurt to hear her say that. Later that night, one of her friends approached me and started hitting on me and asked me if I was into my girlfriend. I lied and said we were just friends. We spent the next 2 hours talking and lightly flirting. I didn't kiss her or anything like that, but I did playfully shove her. I wasn't planning some revenge on my girlfriend or anything, but it felt nice to have someone flirt with me. My girlfriend was pissed. She said that I crossed a line with her friend. I told her we were just having fun and nothing happened. We got into a fight and I'm feeling confused now, as if I should apologize or not. Top comment on here is, she's established that she's not your girlfriend, so you're NTA. Also, leave this girl. Why would you want to be with someone who is actively ashamed of you? This is not her not being ready. This is her not being ready to be ashamed or embarrassed or whatever. Because if she's still single to her friends, she's still single when her friends and her go out. Yonder. It's probably the name of a bar or something. Yonder. Where'd you go, Yonder? It needs to be the name. Okay. That's going to be a t-shirt. It's going to be this fake bar. It's like the Thunder Crew bar called Yonder. She asked you to play a role. And in this role, you're single. In this role, you two aren't dating. She is playing along in this scene as well. And her character is single and is not dating you either. She executed her lines flawlessly, right? Is there anything going on between you guys? Oh, no, we're like just friends. Okay, scene's rolling. So then they come to talk to you, and I didn't hear anybody say cut. You did exactly what she asked you to do. If you were to keep up the charade that you guys aren't dating, then you're single and she's just your friend, and this girl that is her friend that came over and started flirting with you is absolutely allowed to do that. None of that matters, though, because you shouldn't be with this person because they're embarrassed to be with you. Walk away, have some self-respect, and just go on a date with a girl who actually chose you. Let's do that. Let's do that. D&D homebrew with stories. Hell yeah. Don't be with this person. Be with the girl who chose you. She actually chose you, man. So the question, am I the Ascanaut for hitting on my girlfriend's friend after she insisted on not telling them that I'm her boyfriend? What you're asking here didn't actually hit it, or didn't actually happen, though, right? I mean, the friend hit on him. They flirted back and forth. Okay. So flirting back and forth sounds more innocent to me than hitting on. Eh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just an old man. But regardless, it wouldn't have mattered if you went home with her. NTA. And you should date this girl. Seriously. You should do that. That would be a really good idea. Hey there, Dusty Thunder here with a best of Redditor update story for you. This one is titled, I Ruined My Parents' Relationship Over Reading Mail. Originally posted July 2nd, 2023. I, 24 female, don't want to say what I do for work, but let's just say it's the type of job that includes a lot of written letters from clients that are supposed to be confidential and only for my eyes. I'm fresh out of college and living with my parents so I can finish paying off for school. My work letters, of course, go to my parents' address since they live miles away from a post office and driving to a P.O. box is a huge pain. The issue started with my father. Ever since high school, when I received mail, my dad would open it. Whenever I received Christmas or birthday cards in the mail with money in them, my dad would hand me the card and insist he'll keep the money safe for me until I demanded he handed it over. Any package I would order for myself, he would open and hand to me. Sometimes the products were used by him as well. The final straw was when he received my acceptance letter to my dream college, and instead of waiting for me to come home to open it, he opened it himself and called me while I was at work to congratulate me. I've spoken to my mother about how much this makes me feel uncomfortable, and she told me she'd speak to my father about it, to which he would apologize and not do it for a week before doing it again the next week. I had also spoken to my dad about the confidentiality of the mail I would be receiving now that I'm working, and he says he understands, but it all came crashing down a few weeks ago. While I was working, my dad came into my room and handed me opened envelopes from my clients and even tried to have a conversation about it with me, but I just ignored him until he got the hint and left. After work, I yelled at him for violating client confidentiality, to which he got defensive and said that I live in his house. Any mail sent to his house would be read by him. I don't think that's the way the law works regarding that, sir. Furious, the next week I thought I would take revenge on my father by going to the mailbox and reading his mail, but what I found was what ended my relationship with him. I had found credit card statements on jewelry and restaurants that were too fancy for my dad to go to alone, and I don't remember the last time my dad took my mom on a date nor bought her any jewelry. I also found a letter addressed to my dad from a woman who stated how tired she was for hiding this relationship for so long and how she is so desperate for his letters to reach her. When my dad noticed the mailbox was empty, he ran back in the house as white as a ghost. He walked into the kitchen to see me and my mom in the kitchen reading his mail. Before the fighting could start, my mom asked me to leave the house. So I drove to my aunt's, who lives 45 minutes away, and explained everything. I came back after 2 days, and my dad's stuff was gone. My mom told me my dad's living in a hotel, and she will be in contact with a divorce attorney. Turns out my dad has been having an affair with a family friend and was hiding it through letters to leave no digital footprint. My dad ended up showing my mom the stash of letters he had, and she took photos of each and every single letter before she asked him to leave. I feel at fault because I at first wanted to be petty with my dad, but it unraveled into this huge event and made me think, no wonder he's been looking through my shit. He was giving himself away. I feel like I shattered my mom's world since I can hear her cry every night about it since the incident. Shit. Top comments. Commenter: you didn't ruin your parents' marriage. Your father ruined it. No wonder he was so controlling. Also, don't know if you're in the USA, but it's a crime to open someone else's mail. It's not your fault he's a shitty person. Just be glad your mother doesn't have to put up with his BS anymore. Hear, hear. Original OP's response: I will be pursuing a case about this. Thank you so much. I already spoke to my work about it. Comment: you didn't ruin your parents' relationship. Your dad having an affair ruined it. You just found out about it and gave your mom the chance to make an informed decision with all the facts on whether she wanted to be in a marriage with a cheater. Comment: her dad took her birthday money to pay for his secret life. Comment: his insane mail rule wasn't about invading your privacy. That was a bonus for him. It was about covering his ass for as long as possible. He did it to himself. I think we see a lot of times when people have something that they're hiding, they're overly sensitive overly paranoid about other people trying to hide things the same way. So who knows how long this has been going on, because he's been overly paranoid about mail other people are receiving for years and years and years and years.
He might have had pen pals for a while.
Update. The next day, July 3rd, 2023. Thank you all so much. I wrote this out last night, drunk off my mind, and I never expected this much kindness from strangers. I'll go ahead and answer a few questions here and then give an update. Was my dad using my money from the gifts to buy stuff for his mistress? I'm 50-50 on this answer. I received cards when I was young with money, and it was the same routine. Aunts and uncles would leave $100 per card, and my dad always gave them to me when I was younger. As I got older, obviously the money reduced to $20 to $40. I do believe my dad would give me back half of my money in those cards, which would make sense as to how he was able to make such huge expenses on his mistress. Oh my God. I need to collect proper evidence, so I plan on calling my aunts and uncles and other relatives who would send me money. I don't know that that evidence is going to be admissible at this point because it was years and years and years ago, but it's still evidence. The mistress would send letters addressed as a business or a credit card company. If you ask me, they were doing the most. When my mom would check the mail, she would see the letters that were addressed to my dad as bills or some crazy BS and never open them because she doesn't handle the bills. A lot of packages were sent by the mistress as well, which is why he went through my packages, and I don't want to imagine what kind of crap she was mailing him. Now for the update. Like I said before, it's been a few weeks since it happened. I've been doing my best to comfort my mother while she deals with all the legal business and my dad's constant appeals to my mom to apologize and begging for forgiveness. I've been here to listen to her, and she keeps spiraling between wanting to forgive him and cursing him to hell. I told her my own personal opinion, which was to never take back a cheater. She did basically everything for him, and she shouldn't see it as her not being enough for him. That's his fault for not appreciating her. The mistress also was a married woman. My mom reached out to her husband, sending him the letters she had taken photos of, even had a long phone call with him about what was going on. He initiated the divorce, and the mistress is now angry at my father for not being more careful. The mistress's ex-husband, who I'll call Henry, has been a best friend of my mom's throughout the legal cases. I hear the mistress is still reaching out to forgive him, which I honestly think is very funny since my dad is doing the same thing. She was financially dependent on Henry, and my dad isn't making enough at his job to support the lifestyle she wants.
Oh, it's the tiniest violin ever.
Yesterday, Henry asked my mom to come out to lunch with him. They've been sad shut-ins for the past few days, and they agreed to go out and get some fresh air. I encouraged my mom to do so, and to call me if my dad or the mistress decided to show their faces when they went, just so I could pick her up. My dad hasn't apologized to me at all about reading my mail. In fact, he's called me and left me voicemails telling me that this whole situation was my fault, then going and crying, saying he regrets everything and he hopes he can still be my dad. I honestly don't know what to do with him right now, other than ignore him. I don't know if there will be another update, but I will if something major happens. Again, thank you so much for the supportive comments, and I hope some of what I said clears things up for you all. OP, this has nothing to do with you. You're just the person that happened to find his shitty little system for hiding things. I say shitty, but it worked for a long time. How long, we don't know. That's how well it worked. He had a system, which does explain his oversensitivity to checking mail. He already had total control of that, so he felt confident that would be a solid delivery system. He had total control to an illegal extent, but he had total control there, right? So you found it because you found someone else's fuck up doesn't mean that it's your fuck up. It's still theirs. You just discovered it. You just found it. You brought it to light. And him saying this is all your fault is hilarious. Hilarious. That is laughable. Don't give that a second thought. It's your fault he got caught. It's not your fault he chose to do the dumb shit that he did. And it's still not your fault that he got caught. I shouldn't even say that. He's blaming you for getting caught because you're the one who caught him. That doesn't mean it's your fault. It's still his fault. And doubly his fault, because if he hadn't meddled in your confidential work-related mail, you would have never gone to the mailbox to do what you did. He initiated his own demise here. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy because he overstepped the bounds that was so critical that some kind of action had to be taken. Either it was going to be legal action because he did break the law. He broke patient confidentiality by opening mail that was not addressed to him, which is another sensitive issue there. But had he not done any of that shit, he would have never been found out, which is not a good thing. But it doesn't mean that he gets to blame you for it. Pick which dumbass thing he did
that got himself in trouble. It doesn't matter. Throw a dart. He's got all kinds of dumb things to choose from. Any of those number of things are the reason that he's in this mess. None of them are on you. And as a father, trying to blame your child because they're the one who caught you in this charade is the most cowardly, bullshit, unfatherly thing you could possibly do. That man has a lot of work to do to make up ground with you and your relationship before I would give him an ounce of respect back. He definitely goes on Ascon 1 here, all the way. And Brozo knows no age. He gets the Brozo Award here as well. Also gets a DFHB fail for blaming his own kid for this shit. Dumbass. You, however, get the NTA here, OP. Sorry you had to go through this, but it is not your fault. Your father's a dumbass. Hey, Dusty Thunder here, and I wanted to thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that content, and if you did, please make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Also, you can find swag and so much more at dusty-thunder.com, and you'll find even more content on all of our platforms. We're on TikTok, YouTube. We now have an official Facebook page that we'll be posting stories to as well. We have podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and so much more. You can see all of our content platforms on Linktree, which is linked in my bio. Engage with us wherever you're enjoying content and do your best to avoid the Askenauts today. Thanks again.